Abraham, right? We've talked recently about Abraham and Isaac and the promised child. And we've talked about that Abraham was promised descendants as numerous as the stars. And Abraham thought to himself, I don't have one child. How am I going to have descendants as numerous as the stars? But he had been walking with God, and he believed and trusted in God. And so he continued believing and trusting in God, and he said, okay, if this is what's going to happen, then it's going to happen. And I'll just keep going on with life and wait for it to happen. And years went by. Well, he waited for it to happen. And at one point, his wife thought, well, maybe it's me. Maybe it's just that I'm too old, and this can't happen because of me. So why don't you go be with my maidservant, and then you'll have the promised child that God promised you. And so rather than waiting on God to deliver the promised child, they intervened and tried to speed up the process. And so how many of you have ever tried to speed up the process on something that you felt God said was going to be in your life? Something you felt in your heart was going to happen. And you didn't see it happening. So you tried to speed it up a little. Tried to help it along. Isaac did come along. But now so did Ishmael. In these three stories, there's promises that were put in a heart. And in these three stories, there's a length of time that went by before they were seen. They're not the only stories in the Bible. And I'm willing to bet that in each of our lives, there's stories just like them, where there was something that was in our heart, and it took a long time. Maybe it still hasn't even happened yet. And you're wondering, am I missing something? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing? Be careful, you might end up with an Ishmael. God doesn't put promises in our heart that he's not going to fulfill. Which leads us to the basis for our sermon today, which is found in Luke 2:21-35. Luke 2:21-35. At the end of 8 days, when he was to be circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel Gabriel, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time for their purification came, that is, the mother's purification and the baby's dedication, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, set apart as the firstborn. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy, set apart, and dedicated to the Lord. I've read this out of my NIV Bible numerous times, and several of the words that I just read are not in there. These are explanations that are found in the Amplified Bible that explain what's going on. You see, when I first started reading my Bible and reading the New Living Translation, I read only what it had, and I didn't study back to see what was happening. And so in my mind, when they went to Jerusalem, Jesus was circumcised, and the purification happened. But if you stop and you look at Scripture, and you go back to the law of Moses, you find out that those weren't in the same time periods. See, Jesus was circumcised 8 days after he was born. But the purification happens 40 days after birth. So my point in stopping here and sharing this with you is that when we don't look in the Word of God for explanations, we just read along, We miss that there's long periods of time in between some of the words. We miss that there's multiple events that happen. If we just read the story of Isaac, it happens very quickly in the Bible. But it doesn't show, unless you study it, that Isaac was almost an adult when he was brought up on the mountain to be sacrificed. There's periods of time in Scripture. And as we learn the basis of the story, and we continue reading, we're supposed to pick up on those things. We're supposed to flip back and see. We're supposed to study. We're supposed to look. And that's when we receive more from the Word of God. And they came also to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, to be appropriate for a family of modest means, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's important too. Because when you look back, you find that the sacrifice that's supposed to be offered, according to the book of Moses, is a lamb. But if you don't have the means to purchase a lamb to sacrifice, then you can use two turtle doves or two pigeons. And so the fact that Mary and Joseph were offering two turtle doves or two pigeons indicates what they had for finances. They didn't have the means to purchase a lamb. We hear the stories of the baby Jesus being born poor. But there's lots of places in Scripture that identify just how poor they were. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, caring fully and observing the divine law and looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. Prompted by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him the custom required by the law, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed and praised and thanked God. Simeon was a Jew. He was an Israelite. He was old when we hear about him in this story. He was nearing the end of his life. But I can imagine as Simeon was growing up, as he was a young boy, and he was doing what all Jewish young boys did, devoting time to memorizing Scripture, memorizing the law of Moses and the prophets, reading about what was being taught in Scripture. There was things that stood out to him. And there was an impression in his heart about this Savior that was promised to come. And as he was growing and studying God's Word, he received a promise in his heart that he would not die before he saw this Savior with his own eyes. I can only imagine between the age of 12 when they're recognized for manhood and their understanding of Scripture and the age that he was here in Scripture, how long he waited for this promise to happen. But Simeon didn't get bitter. He didn't think to himself, you know, I could die any day now. And it just hasn't happened. When is this ever going to happen? I don't even see signs that it's going to happen. I'm not going to the temple anymore. I'm not doing this thing. I thought that God promised me this, but it's not happening. It's been 70 years. It's been 60 years. Whatever it had been for him. and I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. He didn't get there. He still was getting up and going to the temple. He was still spending his time dedicating himself to God. He was still saying to himself, this is a promise from God. And until my last breath, it's still a promise from God. It can still happen. Simeon said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to leave this world in peace. In his mind, at this point in life, he had only been living to see this happen. Took all of his life, and now he was ready to go. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. What would it have been that Simeon was waiting for? What would be the significance of seeing this Savior happen? The Savior come about and be in the world? You see, as Simeon was studying the Word of God, he would have seen things like the book of Isaiah, which has lots of scriptures in it, but I highlighted two. So Isaiah 7, 14, which says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Listen carefully. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So as he's studying and memorizing scripture, he sees in Isaiah that God is going to be born as a child into this world. And the sign is that a virgin is going to give birth to him. You would have also seen Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, which says, for to us a child shall be born, to us a son shall be given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There shall be no end to the increase of his government and of peace. He shall rule on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From that time forward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. The Lord sends a word, a message, as he's going through and memorizing the book of Isaiah, he would see things like this that talked about God coming as a child, God being born into this world, and through him, things were going to happen. Things were going to change. The blind would see, the lame would leap. The government would be upon his shoulders. There would be peace in the world. All of these promises Simeon would have seen. And when this promise to Simeon rested in his heart that he would get to see this Savior actually in the world, what a joy. Not only do I have the promise that it's going to happen, but I am going to get to physically see it. It's a little bit better promise than Moses, who was bringing the Israelites into the promised land. But in his lifetime, they would not enter it. All the years that he dedicated to carrying around these people that at times were miserable towards him, and he asks God, can I at least see it? Can I see the promised land? God brings him up on a mountain and allows him to look off the edge of the mountain into the land. But that's as much as he would see. You see, Simeon was going to get to see it with his own eyes. And so he continued to dedicate his life to God in hopes that it would happen, just as God had put it in his heart. Simeon's life is recognized in Scripture, not because of any great thing that Simeon did. Right? We don't see anything of Simeon leading the Israelites. What we see of Simeon is he spent his life giving his hope and trust to God that what was promised would be fulfilled. And he dedicated his life to following God for that sole purpose. What God promised would happen, and so he gave his life to see it happen. So in the announcements this morning, or actually before the announcements, when I came up and I read the scripture and talked about encouraging one another, I shared about what this season is and the joy that's in this season. There's joy for lights. I like to drive down the road and see all the lights all over the place. I don't want to see their NIMO bill. But it's nice to see all the lights. There's joy in spending time with family. For some people, there's joy in getting gifts. How many of you guys have heard about the 5 love languages? See, you guys are still participating. I love it. So one of the love languages is gifts. For some people, there's a lot of joy in receiving gifts. For some people, there's a lot of joy in giving gifts. They don't know how to express love any other way than to give a gift. And for them, it's from the heart. God wires us differently. He creates us unique. But there's joy in these things in the season. But that's not what the season's about. That joy is only momentary for what's happening. But what the season is about is what Simeon got to hold. The Savior coming into the world. That's what we're celebrating Christmas for. We're reminding ourselves of the birth of Christ and what that means for us and for the people who don't even know Him yet. Salvation came into the world. And we have the opportunity to be with God in heaven because God came down from heaven and paid our debt. And so when you're going through life this next month, these next few weeks, and you're thinking to yourself about all the stress, all the anxiety, all the whatever's going on in your life, all the letdowns from people around you, all the whatever, financial struggles, hurts in family, I've got to go spend the next 4 hours in this house with this one person, and I don't really want to go, but it's the tradition, and I have to do it. When you're thinking to yourself about whatever's going on in your life, remind yourself, that's not what this time is about. This time is about the salvation, the opportunity I have to be with God in heaven. This whole Christmas season is about what Christ did. He came to earth to pay our debts. He came down from heaven. He left the glory of heaven and came down to earth to live a perfect life and pay for our sins. And He did just that. And so now, because He fulfilled this promise, we await the next promise that He is preparing a place for you in heaven. and one day he will return to bring you there. And all he asks is that you trust in him and you follow him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, because he will lead you there no matter what your life holds. He will lead you there. And it's a promise from God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, and even though there's many words in it and it gets confusing at times, we thank you for this simple promise that you came down from heaven and paid our debt so that we could be with you. And today, Lord God, we ask you to guard our hearts and our minds and our words as we go through these next few weeks, maybe even these next few months, Lord God. Guard our hearts and our minds. Help us to remember who you are and what you did for us and what we have in return just for setting our heart and eyes on you and following you. Lord God, lead us in everything we do and say. And help us, Lord God, to be your light in this world. People around us know that we're a child of God. Help us to be a child of God in everything we do and say. The arms that we wrap around people, the encouraging words that we use to lift somebody, the strength that we give as we continue walking despite everything that's around us. Lord God, lead us and encourage us and help us to be an encouragement to others. For all those, Lord God, who are sick right now, we ask for your hand to touch them, heal them, lift them up, and shine your glory through their healing. For all those, Lord God, who are suffering in whatever way, we ask for your touch upon their bodies, upon their hearts and their minds. Encourage them, Lord God, and set their eyes on you. In spite of whatever they face, Lord God, help them to see the hope they have in you, that whatever they're facing is only momentary, but eternity with you is everlasting. Help us not to lose sight of that in whatever struggles we face. Above all, Lord God, we ask for your mercy upon our lives and the lives of those we love. Guide us, Lord God, in the things we say and do, and help us to be an encouragement to those around us. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we ask this and thank you. Amen.